God's love of self and neighbor, neighbor's love of God and self, self's love of God and neighbor are all woven together, and they can't be pulled apart. Loving God in Jesus, loving Jesus has something to do, does have something to do with things like worship and prayer. How do you love someone if you never pay any attention to them? And that's what worship and prayer are about, taking some intentional time to pay attention to God. But what seems even more important to this God to whom we want to pay attention when we gather in worship and prayer, what seems even more important to loving God is loving others. Worship and prayer are dramatically incomplete without that. In one of his sermons on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, John Wesley, to whom Methodists traced the beginnings of the Methodist movement, John Wesley wrote that religious words are not enough. Whatever creeds we may rehearse, whatever professions of faith we may make, whatever number of prayers we may repeat, whatever thanksgivings we read or say to God, incomplete. Instead, what matters, Wesley says, is the person who loves the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his mind and soul and strength, who in his spirit does good to all others. God's love of neighbor and self, neighbor's love of God and self, self's love of God and neighbor are all woven together. So who does that mean we should love? God wants us to love God by loving others. If loving Jesus means loving others, who are these others? I also love the way H. Richard Niebuhr wrote about our neighbor as he was reflecting on all of that. Who is our neighbor? And he wrote this in the 1950s, so the language is exclusively male pronouns. If he were rewriting it, he would write it differently, but I'm just going to share what he wrote. Who is our neighbor? He is the one near and the one far, the one beside the road I travel here and now, the one removed from me by distances in time and space, in convictions and loyalties. He is my friend, the one who has shown compassion toward me, and my enemy who fights against me. He is the one in need, in whose hunger, nakedness, imprisonment, and illness, I see or ought to see the universal suffering servant. He is the oppressed one who has not risen in rebellion against my oppression, nor rewarded me according to my deserts as individual or member of a heedlessly exploiting group. He is the compassionate one who ministers to my needs, the stranger who takes me in, the father and mother, sister and brother. I just love that because it's so comprehensive. Who do we care about? Our neighbor can be anyone. After his death, Jesus shows up. He shows up on shore just as light is dawning, shows up in the dim light of the morning. He asks how the fishing is going and offers some advice. He prepares a breakfast for his friends, who are no doubt hungry after being out fishing so early, early in the morning. Jesus shows up with some questions. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend others. Care for others. Be there for others in the mornings of their hungers. Be there to offer wisdom. Be there to connect other people more deeply with Jesus. Last weekend I taught some Minnesota lay speakers more about John Wesley and Methodism. During the lunch break on Saturday, and I was leaving right after lunch, during the lunch break, a young woman, a mother of two, came up and visited with me a little bit. She told me a little bit about her life story and what she was doing. Told me about her passion for working with youth and about how much she loved doing that at her church, and talked to me a little bit about some of where she was sensing God's call in her life. Well, last Sunday evening, I received a Facebook friend request from this woman, and then she sent me a message. She thanked me for teaching, and then she said that she was committing herself to following her call to be a licensed local pastor. And then she ended the brief message with these words, "I am nervous, excited, and taking a leap of faith, but wanted you to know that it was you who helped make the decision clear. Thank you for being you." And all I could do was marvel at what can happen in those moments when we simply take time for other people, when we pay attention, when our attention is what they're asking of us, how when we offer ourselves to others in care, wonderful things happen, and Jesus feels love. Still in the misty morning light, that voice comes. Do you love me? Do you love me? Then love. Then care. Help people discover who they are in Jesus. Help them hear the voice. Do good. Build the common good. Worship matters. Praying matters. But I think they matter most because they help us listen to that voice of Jesus, listen to the voice of our neighbors, and somehow in responding in love and care to our neighbors, Jesus is also loved. Amen.